Hi, everyone. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance has questions and we have answers. I'm your host, Bill Coffin. Welcome to another Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. One of the best benefits of being a member of the Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or Bella, is that if you have any questions at all about ethics and compliance, you can submit them to Bella's concierge service, and one of our internal experts will provide an answer and direct you to a helpful resource for more information. Many of these requests speak to broad challenges facing Bella members, and by extension, the wider ethics and compliance profession. That's why we're using this show to thematically respond to high-level questions from the Bella community. And joining us once again to answer those questions is Bella Chair Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bill, for having me back. And thank you to the Bella community for continuing to ask questions so that Bill and I have a chance to talk about them.
Our next question is a conflicts of interest question, and it reads, what does a good moonlighting policy look like?
Yeah, and Bill, this is one where we're seeing more and more organizations have to deal with this in the new hybrid work environment in which we're all operating, because it is easier than ever to have a side hustle, a side gig, something else that you are thinking about working on and doing in your off hours. And that's fine, right? The purpose of a good conflicts of interest policy is to make sure that if you know I've hired you as a full-time employee of my enterprise, you are putting your time, energy, attention, and efforts to the work you're supposed to be doing here, and you're not thinking about other things where you're putting your interests first. And that applies if you're thinking about managing a family member or recommending someone to be a vendor of the organization that you have a relationship with. And it applies when it comes to outside activities, which is what a side hustle is. And so in this case, sunshine cures everything, right? Disclosure is the most important thing. Making sure the organization knows, like, hey, on the weekends, I am doing this activity, right? And I'm not using the company's name, I'm not using the company's resources, and I'm not doing it on company time. Disclose it with those criteria and move along. If it is something where you need to do it during working hours, making sure, again, you disclose it so that you and your manager can make sure that you are still putting your time, energy, and attention where you should be, and you're not off working on something else at the same time that you're supposed to be working for the company, right? That's the heart of these conflicts of interest questions. That's the heart of what that good policy looks like. Now, I will say, and it was funny, I was just in a Bella roundtable, and there was widespread acknowledgement that people don't really read our policies, right? We'd like to think they do. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of people don't. And so particularly with something like conflicts of interest, which is one of the primary ways that a company is going to interface with your program, thinking about your training around this topic, thinking about your communications around this topic, thinking about an opportunity to take a story around this topic and tell it so that it resonates and it lands with people. That is really the key. You can write the most beautiful policy in the world, but a good conflicts of interest approach writ large is really focused on employee education. How do I make it as easy as possible for people to disclose? How do I help them understand the things they need to disclose? And how do I tell stories to make sure that disclosure is happening in a timely fashion so that my organization can mitigate whatever issues might be arising with our employee base?
Now, I'd like to lean in on that storytelling piece just a little bit, because you know, we often will look at this topic from the compliance standpoint, kind of from a top-down standpoint, but looking at it from the point of view of the employee, somebody who has to abide by that policy or has a conflict to disclose, you know, one thing that might be worth considering would be using those employee cases, people who really practice good conflict of interest disclosure hygiene, and letting them elevate their stories within the organization to illustrate how easy the process is, and frankly, what kind of peace of mind it provides. I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who pursue extracurricular activities that would merit a disclosure, but really don't rise to the level of a true conflict. But for them, it's a gray zone. And living in that gray zone can be stressful at work, and it can actually reduce your psychological safety. So there's an extra benefit if you can promote this to the workers as a way of, here's a way to do the thing you love, to be fully present at work, and to be 100% free and clear in your own head around these things. There's a real value to that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, I mean, if you find yourself in a situation where you've got a side hustle and you're trying to work on it, you know, at the same time that you're doing your full-time job and you're having to put meetings on your calendars that say like dentist or doctors or something like that, when really it's your other gig, you've crossed the gray zone into, you know, needing to disclose at that point. And that's incredibly stressful if you haven't done that and you don't understand, you know, what the company is expecting you to do. So yes, like find your people who disclose things, find your person who's volunteering for a board on the weekends and still disclosed it. Find your person who, you know, has an Etsy shop where they're making handmade wooden figurines and selling them on the side and disclosed it, right? Tell those people's stories so that the rest of your organization understands, A, it's not a problem to have a conflict. It's a problem to fail to disclose it. B, you've made the disclosure process as easy as possible so that people can tell you what's going on and you can manage and mitigate those risks. And C, you know, that nothing bad happens when you raise your hand and say, hey, I'm serving on this board. Hey, I've got this other thing that I'm doing, but don't worry, it's not taking my focus away from my work.
Well, Erica, thank you again so much for coming onto the show and for lending us your insights on this really important topic.
Absolutely, Bill. My pleasure. And thank you to all those Bella members out there who keep asking these good questions. Keep them coming, and I will come back to answer more with Bill.
To learn more about Bella, please visit ethisphere.com/Bella to request guest access to the Member Resource Hub and to speak with the Bella Engagement Director. And if you have a question that you would like answered on Bella Asks, be sure to use the Bella Concierge service, and we'll get to your question just as soon as we can. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been a special Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.